This is the Right Not Wrong podcast. This podcast is a collection of audio series, starting with the comedy series. Of course, BJ stands for Barry Jones. If you give me a follow, a like, even recommend your friends, comments and messages are more than welcome. I hope you enjoy it. Speed dating, the Russian dominatrix, and the long walk home. Barry took the shortest shower he'd ever taken, barely washing off the dirt from the flower bed that cushioned his fall. Bridget was livid. She proceeded to scream at him for 10 minutes, meaning that he missed his bus and had to call an Uber, which took 15 minutes to arrive. As he made his way into the living room, Sammy sat in the rocking chair in the corner. Shit! Jesus, Sammy! Sammy smiled, then rose from the chair. Barry held his chest, feeling the deep thud of his heart. I gave you a spare key from emergencies, not so you could just let yourself in. My dear friend, this is an emergency! It's your 30th birthday, let's get mortal! Sammy yelled as he handed Barry a plastic cup filled with a jello shot. Barry shook his head, sighed, then embraced the doctrine of his best friend. The taxi ride over to the hall where the speed dating was happening was quick and painless. Big Dave had picked them up. Big Dave, not just Dave, Big Dave, had been the year ahead of them in school. Big Dave was barrel-shaped after years of bodily abuse. He had fallen into taxi driving, which he turned out to be good at, although Barry did always get close enough to check that he hadn't been drinking before he sat in the back seat. Big Dave was a lovely guy, but a functioning alcoholic, which as you could see, could be problematic for a man whose job was to drive people from A to B. Big Dave also did not have a problem with the pair of them drinking a bottle of vodka in the car, which Sammy had stuffed down his trousers. Sammy was a great guy, but even though he was earning good money at McDonald's now, he really was quite stingy. Sammy planned to get through that whole night without buying a single drink. As they jumped out of the taxi, they said their thank yous and Barry handed Big Dave a tenner. Then Sammy handed him a jello shot, which he downed, then tore away at high speeds, making enough noise for a few girls who were outside smoking to take notice. Sammy led the way, winking at the girls who were smoking as he climbed the stone steps. Barry followed closely behind, sucking in his gut and smiling nonchalantly at the girls, who looked at him with little or no emotion. Barry could work with little or no emotion. It was when women looked at him like Bridget looked at him that he knew there was no hope. Sammy signed them both in, filling in both their names and date of births. He then turned to Barry and slapped a sticky name badge on him, which read, Big Balls, on his chest. Barry looked down, reading the words upside down, then tore it off his shirt and went back to the desk. He grabbed a pen and wrote Barry onto a new sticker. Stop dicking around, I am nervous enough as it is. Barry dabbed his forehead, collecting several beads of sweat. Chill out, bro, everything is frosty. Chill your goose eggs and let's have a party-licious shindig of a time. Sammy replied. Wow, thought Barry, as he tried to get his head round the sentence he had just heard. Excuse me, said a voice from behind them. They both turned back to see the lady behind the desk. Us, Barry replied. Yes, which one of you is Barrington Jones? That's me. Well, it says here that you want to go into the 20 to 30 speed dating. Well, that's right, yeah. Is there a problem? Barry felt a few more beads of sweat emerge. Well, you see, 20 to 30 goes up to 29. You'll have to go into the 30 to 40. That's down the hall, the lady replied, pointing to the left. Seriously? Seriously? The woman said without moving her expression, which Barry thought was quite impressive. I was literally 29 yesterday. Sammy tapped him on the shoulder, then pulled him away from the woman. Go with it, bro. Older chicks be randy as. Sammy did not wait for a reply and literally skipped down the hall and off to the right. Sammy! Sammy heard him, but kept going, waving just before he disappeared from sight. Barry sucked it up and headed into the grown-up room. He had not quite contemplated being 30 until that very moment. He had never quite considered himself an adult. He embraced all the good side of being over 18, but never the grown-up side. What did he have to offer a woman in her 30s? He had lived on his own for a year and a half, only leaving to go to Asda. He owned 3 face masks, one of which was an R2-D2 gag one, which he had never worn because he was embarrassed. He walked into the room and, like anyone who was bricking it, headed for the bar. He got himself a pint of Stella and waited patiently for things to begin. A tall woman in her late 30s entered the room and made her way to the front. If all the ladies could take their seats, the first half of speed dating will get underway, she said, gesturing at as many tables as she could. Barry watched as the women of all shapes and sizes sauntered over to her, assigned tables. He could tell that most of them were not showing signs of nerves, which Barry took to mean that they had done this before, cementing his feelings that the whole idea of speed dating would not work. The organiser then moved over to the small podium at the back of the room, which had a microphone on it. She stepped up and with her index finger on her right hand, tapped on it 3 times. "Let's begin. If all the lovely gentlemen could please line up in an orderly queue, don't worry, you will all have a date with one of these beautiful ladies tonight." Barry cringed. He did not know what he was doing here. He could get why someone in their early 20s might tolerate him and the fact that his life was not all the way together. But a woman in her 30s, they'd have way more chance of having baggage of their own. Barry's baggage consisted of a mortgage that he was comfortable paying, an ex-girlfriend who hated him, and a bald dog. Barry queued up behind a large man who had visited the gym 1 to 2 times daily. Behind him was a man who Barry would say was in his late 30s but looked older, who was slightly overweight. Not that Barry was judging, as he had been holding in his belly since he got there, in fear that if he unleashed his gut, he would pebble dash all the women there with every button on his shirt. "Don't worry, mate. This is the hard part." Barry turned to the man behind him. I'm not worried. I'm actually shitting myself." "I was the first time I came here, mate," the man replied, patting him on the shoulder. You come to these things often?" asked Barry, yet again thinking the whole idea of speed dating was farcical. "Yeah, once a month." Barry closed his eyes, trying to shake out the idea of leaving the queue and heading home. "So I'm assuming it doesn't work then?" "Of course it works. My wife likes me to flirt with the other women in front of her. It does it for her." The man smiled ear to ear. "Wife?" "Yeah, yeah. The woman who's running it. The one with the microphone. Drives her wild. Things we get up to in the car park or the toilets after this." Barry saw the queue in front of him start to move. He felt instant relief as he moved away from the man's words before he got too much information. He was also sure he had been prodded in the lower back by something he wished he hadn't. Barry sat down at his first table, shivering and shaking off the comments from the man behind him. He heard the tall woman say, "When the bell rings, you have 3 minutes. When it dings again, move on to the next table and go." The bell dinged. Barry looked over at his first date. "Wow," he thought as he looked at her. She was young. He had it in his head that they'd all be well too old for him. Bridget was his age and made him feel like he was 10 years younger than her. The woman in front of him had dark brown hair, was tanned, and had the most piercing blue eyes he'd ever seen, which he thought was unusual for someone with her hair and complexion. "Hi. Hi. I'm Barry." "I can see that," she said as she pointed at his name badge. "I'm Davina," she pointed at her own. Barry smiled. Sorry. It's my first time. I'm a little bit nervous." "Speed dating virgin, got it." She smiled at him like she did not hate him or was disgusted by him. It'd been a while since a woman had looked at him in that way. His own mother could not really stand him. His brother was an Olympic athlete. Not a successful one, but he still went, "Yeah, yeah, that's me. Big virgin here." He instantly wished he'd kept his voice down. He heard a few sniggers from behind him. Davina smiled. The pair of them talked quickly, trying to get to know each other best they could. Barry knew from Sammy that the girls wrote down their favourite men. Then the men were asked if the women could give them their numbers. It was all very scientific. It turned out that Davina worked in graphic design firm, just like him, but in human resources. She sounded very enthusiastic about her job. Barry wished he felt enthusiastic about doing work on the newest and safest Viagra. His company scored the account and had put the whole design department on it, hoping to get something back to the company before the Christmas deadline. Barry was smitten. Davina was the first woman he had talked to in over a year and a half that was not his ex, mother, sister or co-worker. He loved the eye contact. Then, after what seemed like an eternity, the bell dinged. "Shit. Guess that's us then. Might see you later," Davina smiled. Barry smiled back, then began to stand up. It was nice seeing you. I hope to see you again," he replied, trying to sound nonchalant, but failing miserably. She smiled, then moved her gaze onto the overweight man who was there to make his wife jealous enough to shag him. Barry moved to the next table, keeping his eyes on Davina. He had not even noticed what a nice body she had. He was too transfixed on her eyes. Name's Julie, nice to meet you. Barry turned to face front, seeing a woman in her late 30s with a short, dyed blonde bob. She was slim and attractive. Barry took her hand, which had been thrust out to him. She had a firm handshake, which made his handshake look pitiful. Hi, I'm Barry. The squeak came from trying his best to retrieve his hand. He finally pried it free, then sat back, placing his hands on his knees, well out of her reach. So, do you come here often? Good one, thought Barry. Open with a joke. This is my fourth time, so actually, yeah, quite often. You? This caught Barry off guard, especially as he'd just taken a gulp of his pint. After he willed the beer, which was stuck between his throat and his stomach, to reach its destination, he took a large breath. First time. It's great. I haven't found love yet, but fourth time's the charm. I've seen and met some really interesting people there. I met a fireman, a policeman. Oh, wait. You can't define them like that kind anymore, can you? Sorry, police officer. That's the one. Bus driver. Barista. Even met a bloke who worked in porn. Or so he said he did. Jesus Christ, thought Barry. Julie was chewing his ear off about everyone she'd ever met while the overweight married guy was talking to the woman that he could see himself marrying. Barry nodded, trying to look interested in what Julie had to say, while keeping an ear on what the table next to them were up to. He noticed that the overweight man kept making eyes at Davina, then glancing over at his wife. Barry glanced over, seeing that the man was right. His wife really did get off with him talking to other women. Sorry, am I going on? My ex told me I did that. I think that's why he left me. Barry's attention immediately sprang back to Julie, seeing the look of self-loathing in her face. Not all. In all honesty, I'm glad that someone else is taking the lead, making small talk. I've never actually been that good at the beginning part. I'm better at the we've been together for years and you know all about me part, if you know what I mean, Barry said, doing air quotes as he did. Julie smiled. Barry had almost forgotten about Davina on the previous table. It was not that Julie wasn't attractive. She was very attractive. Davina just made quite an impression. He could tell Julie was a nice person, somewhat lonely. He could relate. Have you been married? She asked. God, no. My ex wouldn't even contemplate it. Although, now that I think about it, I don't think that I would have been ready had she been up for it. Any kids? No. Just a dog. How about you? Julie reached into her bag and grabbed a picture and handed it to Barry. Just the one. This is Theodora. Teddy for short. She had a sudden burst of enthusiasm. Barry recognised it from the way his mother talked about his brother, the Olympian. She's beautiful. Barry glanced at the photo, but not really taking it in. His reply was mostly automated. No one wanted to hear their child was ugly. So, what do you do for a living? Julie asked as she placed the photo back into her bag. I'm a graphic designer. Wow, that must be exciting, Julie replied, while trying to look as enthusiastic as possible. Not really, a little dull actually, Barry remarked. No, must be. Are you working on something good at the moment? She asked. Barry's mind went straight to the Viagra account he was being forced to work on. No, nothing interesting. How about you? Work. I own my own coffee shop in town. Oh, that's great. Bet that keeps you busy. Suddenly the bell chimed. Safe by the bell, said Julie, putting herself down. No, honestly, this was nice. It was nice to meet you, Barry replied, trying to cheer her up. Barry's next few dates were some of the weirdest conversations that he'd ever had, which was saying something seeing how Sammy was his best mate. If you were stuck on a desert island, would you eat a squirrel? Asked one girl whose name had evaded him. It was something flower related, daisy, tulip, maybe dandelion. Her name badge had been written quickly and had been smudged by her spilling her drink, meaning it was now illegible. Barry did not quite know how to answer the question, but gave the best answer that he could. Depends on what the squirrel had done to me, I suppose. The next girl had dyed pink hair and wore earrings with little alien faces on them. Do they move the Blackpool Tower? The question confused Barry. What? He hoped he had misheard the question. Do they move it? Do they move it down the pier? She moved closer to him, like she was about to uncover a conspiracy that Blackpool had kept secret for years. Barry could only assume that her name was something space-related. No, they don't. As far as I know, the Blackpool Tower stays exactly where it was built. Barry willed the bell to ring. Four more dates later, after a string of non-hitters, Barry sat down opposite a tall red-haired girl with a nose stud. He stared at her for a moment. You recognised her from somewhere. You recognise me from somewhere, don't you? Barry glanced down at her name tag, trying his best to be quick so she would not think he was staring at her chest. Her name badge said Polly. Shit. You're Polly McLeod? Polly McLeod was a local actress who'd started doing the rounds on The Bill, Casualty and Doctors. She had a guest recurring role on Corrie, then hit it big with a detective drama on the BBC. She was the plucky CSI woman who was looking for love in all the wrong places. Which, to be fair, was ironic, as he was meeting her at speed dating. I am. Shh, though. Keep it down. Half the blokes in here are too old to know who I am. She moved closer, keeping her head down. Well, I am 30 today, and I am well aware of who you are. You are brilliant. He couldn't believe he was swooning like some sappy teenager. Thanks. Happy birthday, by the way. Thanks. Barry smiled. It was not every day that a celebrity wished you a happy birthday. If you don't mind me asking, why are you here? I'm speed dating, she replied. No. I get that. Yeah, but you could have anyone, surely. Polly smiled. I just want someone from back home. Someone who knows where I come from. I'm fed up with the London scene. Yeah, the bullshit. Barry could see the sadness on her face. Hey, if you were stuck on a desert island, would you eat a squirrel? Barry asked, hoping to cheer her up. She smiled, then replied. Depends on what the squirrel had done to me. That's what I said! Instantly hearing the lady on the microphone say, shh! Barry smiled and lowered himself to the table. Look, over to the right, about four tables down. She asked me that earlier. But she was serious. As far as I know, replied Barry. Wow. I thought I'd had some weird dates. Her smile got larger, which Barry assumed was a good sign. Why? Who's the biggest weirdo? Other than me, obviously. The guy three in front of you asked about my feet. I actually like my feet, but I get the impression that he wanted to do kinky shit to them. Wow, said Barry as he looked to his right, seeing the man four tables down, who was skinny with slicked back, dark hair. He was wearing a bow tie, which was slightly too tight for him, which was making his face go red. He looks like a keeper. I hope you wrote his name down. Absolutely. Him, the guy that wanted to know my underwear size, and the guy who wanted to draw me naked. Draw you naked? Wow. Bold. Artist. Civil servant. The pair of them burst into laughter. Another shh came over the tannoy. They both lowered themselves to the table, hoping to avoid getting told off. That's us at half time now. Get up, stretch your legs, get a drink, see you in 15, said the organiser, who stepped down off the podium and was gesturing to her husband. Barry felt a hand on his shoulder. He turned to see the overweight man. When I see you next, mate, I will be a happier man, he exclaimed as he jogged off towards the exit. Barry shuddered, then turned to Polly. Well, it was really nice talking to you, Barry said. Then before he could stop himself, can I buy you a drink? His eyes bulged in shock. He was never this forward. She was a celebrity, which did not matter to him. But what would she want with him? As long as you don't offer to paint me naked, don't want to see my feet, sure. Barry rose to his feet, sudden adrenaline surge for him. I don't know, you know, that guy's got me thinking about what's in those heels. As the pair of them walked towards the bar, Julie stood talking to the large, muscly man who was in the chair in front of Barry. She smiled as she saw him and waved. Barry lifted his hand and waved back, then carried on to the bar. The barman finished serving a couple of people, then headed straight for them. He ordered another pint of Stella and a gin and tonic for Polly. They walked over and stood at a stand-up table. So, what do you do? Polly asked. I'm a graphic designer, Barry replied, then took a slurp of his drink. He regretted instantly the noise he made as the liquid met his lips. That's cool. My ex was a graphic designer. He worked on Nike advert, you know, the one with Kanye and Ryan Reynolds playing basketball. Shit. How could he compete with that? He could lie. I'm working on a new advert for Mercedes. He regretted the lie as soon as he had said it. He was about to backtrack when he saw her face light up. Wow, that's great. Is there anyone in it I'd know? Idris Elba, Tom Hardy, you know, Gal Gadot. Shit. The lies were just seeping out of him. By the time he sat back down in the next chair along, he had told some huge porkies, which he knew he could not come back from. The overweight bloke next to him sat down, slightly sweaty and out of breath. He tried to talk to Barry, who nodded, then pointed to his date. Barry knew Polly would see right through him. The overweight bloke's game was so not threatening to him. The next few dates went off without a hitch. Nothing too out there, but nothing that was blowing him away. He glanced back at Polly, seeing that she was now in deep conversation with a very attractive man. Maybe it was for the best, he thought. He had told too many lies in a short amount of time. He was not sure he could come back for them even if he tried. The bell dinged for the second to last time. Barry said his goodbyes to the single mum and knitter, Rhonda, then began to move to his final seat. He caught sight of Julie over the other side of the room, who gave him an eyebrow raise and a nod. Barry pursed his lips, giving a little smile, and nodded back. He saw Davina sat next to her. He had forgotten how beautiful she was. He was conflicted. As he sat down, he kept his gaze over his shoulder at Davina. He sighed. "Barry Jones," said the voice in the chair in front of him. He turned back quickly. He glanced over the table, seeing a woman in her early to mid-30s with platinum blonde hair. She was very attractive. She was carrying a little weight and was very smartly dressed. Yeah, do I know you? You don't recognise me? I know it's been a while, but come on. Barry looked at her again, then took a look at her name badge, Keely. Shit. Keely? Aye, long time no see. Keely was his first driving instructor when he was 17. She still looked and smelt amazing. Her aroma brought back thoughts that had not crossed his mind for over 10 years. "Look at you, all grown up," Keely replied, like she was one of his nan's friends. "Yeah, that's me, 30 today. Happy birthday." I can't believe you chose to come speed dating on your birthday. "I was kind of dragged. How about you? You were getting married last time I saw you," Barry replied. I did get married, but he died." "Divorced then?" he asked. No, he actually died." "Shit. Happened about 5 years ago. He was eaten by a shark," Keely replied. Barry fought back a smile, waiting for the punchline. No, I'm actually not joking. We're in Australia with our kids. Jerry wanted to go swimming. Told him he shouldn't. He might get eaten by a shark. Joke's on him, I suppose." Barry smiled again. She smiled back. "I am really, really sorry for your loss," Barry replied, trying to extinguish the smile that covered his face. "It's okay. It was our last family holiday before we were going to get a divorce, so I guess he saved me some legal fees." Barry found out that Keely was only 35, meaning that she was never that much older than him in the first place. He thought that the fact that she still recognised him was a good sign. She still did it for him. He noticed that she was a quick drinker, which he was just hoping was nerves and not an alcohol problem. The end of the night came around quickly. The girls wrote down who could have their numbers while the men waited at the bar. Barry hoped that at least one of the girls he liked had left their number for him. He watched as the women left, hoping to catch a glimpse of Davina, Polly, or Keely. No such luck. He did, however, see Julie, who waved at him before disappearing through the doors. "Okay, gents, come and pick up your envelopes and see if the ladies you like you back," the organiser said. Barry watched as the cattle built up speed, leaving him at the bar nursing half a pint. Barry downed his drink, watching as half the men already had their envelopes and were out the doors. By the time he got over to the table, there was only a few stragglers left, one of which was the overweight guy who had been lumbered next to for the whole night. Barry picked up his envelope, feeling if there was anything inside. He felt that there was at least one piece of paper. He tore it open and pulled it out. He unfolded the A4 piece of paper, which had been carefully folded with precision into 3 equal parts, then a 4th smaller part. There at the top of the page was an embossed stamp which read, "Speedy speed dating for the single on the go." Barry cringed. Before that was a printed out table with boxes for the women to put their names down in. Barry had 3 names down. Julie was at the top of the page. Barry expected as much, as she had taken a bit of a shine to him. It was not that she was not nice. He just didn't get a spark from her. Below Julie was Petunia. That was her name, thought Barry, who had spent an hour since he met her calling her dandelion. Petunia was unexpected. The squirrel comment had thrown him. Perhaps he was the only person who had given her an answer. Then below that was Keely. Shit. He had not expected her to select him. Barry was not sure if he should get in touch with her. After all, she was his driving instructor when he was 17. Barry sighed. He was still missing Davina and Polly. He knew Davina was a long shot as they'd just made pleasantries right at the beginning, but he had really got along with Polly. He'd even bought her a drink and they'd chatted when it was not part of the date. "How'd you get on, mate?" asked the overweight man, whom Barry now noticed was called Brian. He looked like a Brian. Not bad. Three numbers. Not bad, mate, not bad. I got 12. 12? What would your wife say? Barry was in disbelief. How had this bloke got more numbers than him? She loves it. I'm on for more action on the way home. Name's Brian, by the way. He outstretched his hand. Barry took it, then remembered where Brian's hand had been. He shuddered, then eyed up the hand sanitizer by the door. I'm Barry, he replied. He took his hand back and kept it a sufficient distance away from his body. Barry walked outside and leant against the metal banister. He grabbed his phone and switched it back on. After a few moments, it buzzed. He glanced down, seeing a text from Sammy saying that he was to get it over to the pub across the road, in Sammy's words, to get his sexy caboose over there. Barry walked into the pub, which was after lockdown busy. People were now ordering drinks from their tables and the bar staff were bringing them over. Barry spotted Sammy over in the corner. He was sitting with three girls. Barry recognised Helga, but had no clue who the other two were. Barrington, my boy, how is it even, mate? Sammy shouted as Barry got within earshot. It was good, actually. You see, my bestie here is an adult now and should not be seen with us young people. He had to go speed dating with the grown-ups, Sammy explained to the group. The two women Barry didn't know were having a boozy night and found Sammy hilarious. Helga, on the other hand, did not see the funny side. Don't worry, Barry. You are still young at heart, Helga said. Her Russian accent had died down, being overtaken by the local accent. The waitress sat down a tray of several pints, shots and vodka and oranges next to Sammy. Sammy had taken the liberty, meaning that he was probably too wasted to care if he spent his own money. After several drinks, the five of them found themselves back at Helga's flat. It was nice. It was in a good neighbourhood. Barry expected her to live in a rough part of town. She was even polite to her neighbours on the way in. Her flat looked normal. No red room of paying paraphernalia anywhere. Barry had wondered whether Sammy had lied about their sexual escapades. Sammy had met the two other girls at speed dating and just by chance ran into Helga at the pub. Helga watched as Sammy with the two girls snuck away to her spare room. Helga's expression did not change, but Barry could tell she was slightly perturbed by it. I'm really sorry about him. He does mean well most of the time. I know, Barry. Anyway, are we going to have the sex? Barry sat there in shock for a few moments. Sex? Us? Now? Barry did not know why he needed to clarify when the sex would take place. Yes, I woman, you man, sex good for heart, Helga replied as she moved down the couch to sit next to him. Barry watched as she grasped his leg. What about Sammy? What about Sammy? She laid a kiss on him. Barry had not kissed a girl since Bridget, which was over a year and a half ago. It was good. Helga was a good kisser. You head to my room, get naked, then switch off lights. Remember this word, Osta Navlitsia. She kissed him again, then headed to the bathroom. Barry watched as she seductively shut the door behind her. As it clicked closed, he sprang to his feet and grabbed his wallet, checking that he was carrying protection. He was. He jogged into her room, which was painted red and had red drapes over the lamps, which gave a weird red light, almost like you'd imagine a sex den to have. Barry ignored it and stripped off. Shit, he thought as he looked down at his awful underwear he was wearing. They had comic book captions all over them. He shook his head and switched off the lights, hoping that Helga would not see. Suddenly, the door opened and shut in a blink of an eye. Helga? Barry squinted through the darkness. I see you are down to your underwear. Take them off. You can see me? Barry asked as he did what he was told and removed the waist pulling underwear he had. I can see you. Barry noticed that a voice was now coming from behind him. He turned quickly, stubbing his toe on the bedside cabinet, then falling to the floor, smacking his face off the bedpost as he did. Motherfucking butter! He lay in a heap. Suddenly, he felt something lightly graze his wrists, then yank tight around them. Without warning, he felt himself being hoisted into the air by his wrist. Helga, what the fuck? He cried as his slightly overweight, naked body flailed around like a newly hooked fish which had just been reeled in. Quit your complaining. Let me down? You know the safe word. Safe word? What fucking safe word? Helga began to whip his bottom. He yelped with each hit. I tell you, Helga replied. When did you tell me? On the couch, you remember the word? Shit. It was something Russian sound. I can't remember. Barry cried as an ice cube grazed his private balls. Where the fuck did you get an ice from? Shut up, Helga yelled as she slapped him, sending his dangling body into the wall. Barry swung back, taking a whip to the stomach. Us, Danny, something. Shit. What was the word? He cried as he swung around the room like a piece of newly butchered meat. Then, without warning, the extra body weight that Barry had obtained during lockdowns came in handy. The ceiling bracket which was holding him gave way, sending him flying across the room and hitting Helga straight on, knocking her onto the bed where she bounced and landed on the other side. Barry hit the floor hard, ignoring the fact that he was winded. He sprung to his feet, wrists bound, and flew to the door. Before he knew it, he was out in the cold air, running for his life. He was completely naked and slightly regretting not grabbing his underwear or his shoes or even his phone. As he ran down the very well-lit street, he heard people up ahead. He checked Helga was not chasing him like Christian Bale in American Psycho with a chainsaw. When he was happy she was not in pursuit, he dived into the bushes of the nearest garden. Barry landed headfirst in the flowerbed. This was the second time today he was left in the dirt. He listened as the voices went merrily past his position. He let out a huge sigh then rose to his feet. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw a revolving clothesline, which was full of newly washed laundry. Although it was autumn, it had been uncharacteristically warm. He saw an opportunity to not walk home naked. Barry moved across the garden cautiously. Suddenly, the security light came on. Blind panic set in as he bolted for the clothes. He started grabbing what he could. The bedroom light came on. Barry began to run, grasping what clothes he could. Once he was clear of the garden and in a darker place, he surveyed what he'd stolen. He had stolen 5 items of clothing. A size 16 skirt, a vest, one man's sports sock, a scarf, and what he thought at the time was clothes, but was actually turned out to be a peg bag. Shit. Barry used his teeth to untie his wrists, then pulled on the vest and the skirt. He tied the scarf around his neck and pulled the one sock he had onto his right foot. Needless to say, the walk through town was interesting to say the least. Shit. Next time on Of Course BJ Stands for Barry Jones, Barry deals with the embarrassment from the night before. He goes to his 30th birthday party. His dad has no filter, and he deals with more public embarrassment.